I open the meeting since we don't have a current chair. First order of business is public comment. If anybody has comments about something on tonight's agenda and aren't able to say, make those comments, it's your opportunity to share your thoughts. Do you have any comments? Okay. And we will move on to approval of the minutes. Oh, and I didn't put the date in. Boy, I'm in slack. I'm not a very good secretary. Approval of the minutes for July 30th, 2020. And Misty did give me one correction, so I'll make that. Anybody else have any input on the minutes?
No.
Do we need a roll call to be official?
No, no.
Okay.
I always make a note of who's here. Anybody want to make a motion on that?
Move to approve the minutes with Misty's amendment.
Or correction.
Yes.
With Misty's correction, not amendment.
Oh, okay.
And just in case you're wondering, I changed one word from full to partial. And it had to do with the stuff I submitted last time.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next, we'll have the approval agenda for tonight, February 25th. I will suggest that we move number 10 to elect a chair from the end of the meeting, towards the end of the meeting, to the next item so that we can choose a chair and they can continue with the meeting. So does anybody have...
I make a motion to move general business item 10 to the next order of business.
All right.
Second.
And to approve the agenda?
And to approve the agenda.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay. Well, you are noisy out there.
Yeah.
All right. So now, do I have a motion or a nomination for chair?
I nominate Brenda for chairperson.
I accept.
You accept? Okay.
Do we need
all in
a
favor?
Second?
Aye.
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 I'd like to... Or do, can
for, yes, vice chair. Go ahead.
Nominate Ernie for vice chair.
All in favor?
Aye.
All righty.
Good.
All right, Brenda, take it away.
Take it away.
It's all yours.
Okay, we're moving on to informational items, and we'll start with a report from Metro regarding recent activity and other crime concerns.
Good evening, everyone. Matt Marlowe, South Texas Metro. Would you like some numbers?
That's it. Speak louder. You're 6 feet away. Take your mask off so we can hear you.
So we had a few things.
You're louder.
Sorry, Alec. So for this reporting period, the biggest thing is has been the traffic for obviously snow days, as you know. If you have not given me your email address and you'd like to, I've created group email address packages that I can send out, push out information, in addition to what we post on Facebook. If you were on, or what I asked Donna to post on Facebook rather, if you were on that site or you received the emails from me, you would know that I instituted something I probably should have done a long time ago, which seems to have helped, and that is advising the public through via the media several days before a busy weekend that if you don't have reservations or you're not a resident or a guest of a resident, you will likely spend a lot of time in line and have nowhere to go. What has helped that though, obviously, is the COVID thing with the restaurants having to make appointments in the past, which they haven't had to do in the past. So speaking with the business owners and business managers up here on both Leah and Kyle, it looks like we may be able to maintain some of that appointment, the necessity for an appointment, on those busy snow weekends that we get, even after COVID's done and everybody's okay with that. And that will help tremendously. I know it causes a little bit of delay for residents when they're trying to come up and down because they've got to wait in line until we interview people and say, hey, do you have an appointment? Do you have a reservation or are you a resident? But the alternative is trying to get through traffic parked on both sides of the road, everywhere up and down, and my guys running crazy, or completely shutting down the roadways for an hour or two at a time. So I'm hoping, and if you have feedback, I'm certainly all ears, but I'm hoping that this, the media push and the reservation factor, are more helpful as the town creeps closer to us and more people want to come up here every year. Because the manpower thing, the second part to that is I'm working on a manpower issue and I want to add some more bodies to our squad if I can. And part of what's helping me justify that is not only the traffic up here, but Indian Springs is growing. They're building houses and whatnot out there, so our population is probably, and our calls for service are likely to rise out there as well. So no promises on extra manpower, but the media push out has seemed effective. Again, I'm open to comments or questions on that or anything else at this time. Sorry, maybe the board first? Do we have to start with, yeah, let's start, yeah, with the board first.
Where are you after you've used the media to tell them only people with reservations or residents, whatever, coming up? Where is that checkpoint at where you're checking?
Most of the time it's right at the circle.
Right at the turnaround.
Because that's the easiest place to get folks to turn around without causing a big jam up.
Okay.
You may have questions, and I know Deb's not here tonight from Forest Service, but I'll speak a little bit for her. We requested the open the visitor center parking lot for additional parking. Based on governor mandate and social distancing and some other factors, she said that they wouldn't be able to open it during that time. So I'm hoping that next winter, or if we get another snow this time, that it's lifted enough that we can utilize that as a parking area, because we can certainly let more folks in. Or park and have an area there.
You probably can't answer this. It's probably best for Debbie, but is there a process to get a waiver for that?
So they have access? No. I don't believe so. They have to go by the governor's rules for the state that they operate in, even though they're federal.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that it was based on what the governor's order was, with the issues of social distancing. Additionally, manpower is an issue, because if she opens it up, she has to have a person or several people operate in there to monitor things, open bathrooms, that type of thing. Additionally, their snow plow was broken, so it was kind of a trifecta of issues. So that's where it was with that. One second, Bill.
I was going to address that. There is, I forget what the official name is, but there's a COVID task force that's what it's state. And there's a person on that, and I don't know what his position is, but he worked with, I think it was E.S. Harley or something like that, but I'm still watching the most recent broadcast, but he worked like with Golden Knights to get their 15% manpower out of their 15% of people into the stadium and that kind of thing. So basically he said they were working with different groups to get people back out and about. So that might be an option for them, but I will have to look to see. I don't know what this office is, just have his name, you know,
make sure I'm going to see. Can you send that to us so
we can maybe send that to Debbie? Yeah, I've sent you before for the previous meetings on YouTube.
Okay.
Their meetings are broadcast on YouTube for the state.
Okay.
But I'll send it again.
Okay, thank you.
The original question Don had was, we're going to have the same problem this summer. Can we do the reservation thing this summer or weekend? At least on holiday weekends?
I can run it by business owners and managers up here, because that's kind of the critical.
No, I know, but I mean, it's really helping, and it's like not turning on Christmas and Thanksgiving and that kind of thing.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I want to say thank you to Metro and all the MVPs for all their work that they've been doing, because it would be so much worse without you guys. And I every time you're out there working, you don't hear me, but I'm thanking you. One of the things that I was thinking is, when you're talking to the media, if there's a way to let them know that, especially in the winter when they shut down the Mary Jane and Trail Canyon parking lot and all that's open is Echo, and there's only maybe 15 spaces.
Oh, not even.
But this year it iced over and we didn't even have that. We had people with their supercars coming up and getting stuck. Can we let the media know that the Mary Jane parking lot is closed and there's only 15 spaces in Echo or something to that effect, to let them know that there just really isn't space up here for them?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, we can ask the media to say anything and hopefully people listen to it. The most effective thing, as you pointed out, is to have our MVPs right there at the Echo. And what they do is they monitor how many cars go back in there and they kind of count that. And that's a huge help. So I'll put a plug in for MVPs again. Our MVPs are amazing, and they really help us, the police department, out, and they help the you as residents out We could always use more. And the thing is, the more we have, the more relief we can get, and the less time you would spend out there standing on your feet if we could break and relieve some of these the MVPs. Otherwise, it ends up being one or two out there for a long time. So you've got the opportunity, the ability, and the health to do it, and the desire. We could certainly use you. There's some fun training that goes along with it, and some cool gear, too. So, anything else from the board?
We've got...
Yes, ma'am.
Olivia? I can get this off. How much parking do we have up here for?
It all depends. It's variable based on what the plows do for us from NDOT, and it depends on whether or not the Forest Service gets out and plows any of their parking lots. All things being equal, if there's no snow on the ground, mm-hmm. And we allow the parking under the no parking signs, which we've done in the past couple of years,
right.
We could probably fit 200 cars up here. Plus
so out of 2 million people, we can do two.
Kyle. Okay. Lee has even less, except for the ski resorts operate in the picnic areas and that over there for pay parking, which seems to be working. I'll let Dan talk more about that when he has a chance.
Okay, thank you.
On that with the, is that another thing you can mention, that you have to have a parking reservation? Just kind of throw that out there so they
can't say that because it's a public highway.
Yeah, but I mean for like Lee, so they,
right.
You know, a lot of people don't know what canyon, so if you give the right information.
To say what not.
That you have to have a parking reservation for Lee Canyon.
Isn't that just for ski resort?
Yeah, I think that
I
only
know.
Counts.
What other parking is there?
Well, like I said, Dan's operating the Old Mill picnic area and whatnot.
Okay.
They're charging for parking because they're staffing that and parking people in that. But that's not a. That's just what they're running for snow play and stuff so that they can utilize the parking lot. Because the Forest Service won't operate those parking lots during the wintertime, they close everything down. So the ski and snow resort is using those parking lots to help park people so they're still snow playing.
Okay.
And those are charged areas. I mean, they need to gain money from that so they can staff it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we used to have, and I don't know who did it, but our first several years here, there always was the people that came out and gave information about where the snow play areas were, and we used to have the little maps. But basically, they would send everyone over to Lee, that was the snow play area.
Right.
Is anyone doing that anymore? Or?
No, because
I don't even know who did that.
One, it creates a lot of trash. It's all those little flyers that have the snow play area ends up on the ground. And two, there's just as many people going up Lee now. So what ends up happening is us and NHB will send them both this way and back down the mountain.
Yeah.
Because there's just not parking. Listen, as you know, the city has exploded, and especially with COVID, with the outdoor practice, I mean, this is the busiest year we've ever had up here, and I suspect it's not going to get any less busy. And we're not getting any bigger. We're not adding any parking spaces, so.
And I think a lot of that is Sky Canyon, because when their promotional went to sell a lot of those homes was Mount Charleston was their playground. They would have, and one of them said something, they would have like reserved parking just for the Sky Canyon. And we're
really?
Like, oh, really?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be, but obviously not.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know that this will come up later in the discussion, but we all received a letter from the water department saying that our water...
It
will?
Yeah,
well,
if he's here.
The reason I bring that up is we did get a letter saying water is something to be conserved, and they're worried about it over the summer. That may be something else to tell the media. That would keep people from coming up here if they know there's really not any water. Because unless the visitor center's open, unless you're at the resort, the lodge, or the ski place, there isn't water.
Okay.
Well, I don't think.
We can kick that around.
Yeah.
Anything else from the board before I go to the audience?
Introduce the guy that's with you, please, for my benefit.
Oh, I can't see him. Okay, there is someone.
Highway Patrol?
That's Highway Patrol.
Oh, I can't see.
He'll get a chance.
Yeah,
he'll be up here speaking in just a minute.
Sorry.
Joe, did you have a question, buddy, or you got it? Go ahead.
Matt, I noticed the last snowstorm we had, the signage on 95 and coming up 157.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about four-wheel drive. It says chains or snow tires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody's got snow tires.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right to me. What was the reason for leaving out four-wheel drive?
So sometimes we have control over that board, and sometimes Metro doesn't have control over that board.
Okay.
There's three agencies. It's called LB Roads, and LB Roads is in charge of all these highway signs. There's three agencies, myself, Highway Patrol, and MDOT that have control of that, and it just depends on who got the message to them. If it needed to be changed or adjusted and I knew about it, I could call them and ask them, and it just has to go through their supervision.
Well, I'm going down one of those days where we had the 4 mile backup.
Yep.
I was thinking, why are so many people up here? These cars are not four wheel drive, and I saw it's they're not asking for four wheel drive.
Right. Part of the push again for the media blast is to really put it on the news, because that seems to be the most effective thing. We've noticed in the past that signs aren't the most effective thing, but they really just aren't. The no parking signs, they'll park right below them. They've ignored those signs, even if they say four-wheel drive and chains, for years. For the 4 years I've been up here, they've ignored those. So the only effective thing I've found so far is that media blast, and I will make sure on days that it has that, that that's put out as well, and that hopefully that'll cut them down too.
Brushes.
Thanks, Jim. Yes, sir.
John Hamm, 4608, Yellow Pine. He and I, which makes a mistake, going down to the valley. I think that was a mistake. You know, way down there, the cars went farther down the canyon because the snow came down.
Yeah.
And cars were turning around in the middle of the road. And kids were kind of running onto the road.
Right.
And then you see a car and go out and look back. Is there a control of lower speed limit recommended for that area for the visitors? Is there some way to do that? Or has that car with the lights taken on, that slow down?
It's a great idea, but this all comes down to staffing and manning and being able to, I mean, there's too fast for condition citations that we can give people when we can catch them. Our biggest issue during that time is when we got so many people parking on those areas to try to keep it open enough for emergency vehicles, fire trucks, and ambulances to get through. Short of that, it's, you know, there was a gal that was hit right in that area that you were talking about, a 25-year-old, but she was drunk, running around across the road, and got plowed. I mean, she got kind of she ended up getting citations for it because she was the one at fault. So, listen, there's only so much we can do to fix stupid, right? It just is what it is. And when we can, I have somebody down in that area. My hope is, and that was the time I believe you're talking about, is before we started doing the media blast, and they were parking for 6 miles down that road because we were turning them around at the circle. After that media blast, that we didn't get near that amount of vehicles even come up to have to turn around. So we're going to keep really pushing hard on that media stuff and hoping that that really helps and keeps the parking issues after we turn them around to a minimum. That's the best thing I can think of right now.
What I hear, I just say 25 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the cars are real close.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, nobody wants to get off the side, especially get stuck and everything else. Yeah, for sure. It's a big issue. I'll give you some lights for your vehicle if you want to sit down there. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Coming up this summer, why is it going down 157?
You did what, ma'am?
Bicycles.
Yeah, bicycles. Sure. We got runners and bicycles, and yeah, that's legal. They can do that.
Well, I mean, people get killed.
Well, knock on wood, we've been pretty fortunate so far, but it is possible. You're right.
I'm sorry.
I don't know that that's going to stop, and in fact, it'll probably increase just because the city's growing to us.
Okay, when there's
drivers,
and I'm talking about summer stuff here.
Sure.
I don't go up and down in the weekends.
Right.
Okay, so because it's too much traffic. But, I don't know, the bicycles and the drivers, you say a medium blast. Some of us don't do Facebook, we don't have internet access up here.
Okay.
So,
what do you recommend then?
I don't know. I should talk to Nathan,
Megan,
and see if maybe we can get an email.
Get a what?
Email. I'm sorry, email them.
But you're not the problem.
Yes.
We don't need to email you to know. We would have to email everyone in Clark County.
Well,
I'm not sure.
That would not be good.
We don't have a way. I have found with the years of doing this, I don't think there's a way to reach the masses. Because people who look on Facebook don't necessarily watch the news. I don't have regular TV at my house. I can't tell you the last time I watched the news. So on the news, that's not getting to me. I don't know what the answer is, but I definitely don't think emailing residents, because we don't know who's coming up here. We don't know which Yahoo is going to decide to come up here when it's snowing, thinking they're going to get to see the snow. So we can't email them and say, hey, dude, don't come up here. So if there's emergencies, we can email you, like Matt was talking about, if it's something that affects you. But we'd have to email the people that we don't know that are coming up here.
But I think what Matt's doing, it has helped, because I would get so frustrated watching the weather. Oh, it's snowing about Charleston. Let's everybody get your... And I'm like, no, don't send them up here. Right. So at least when you're doing that, they have that warning. Because I do feel bad when they come up and there's a car full of all these little kids all bundled up wanting to go play in the snow, and there isn't anywhere for them to go. So it's not fun for them either to spend that time in line and thinking it's going to be worth it when they get up here, and there's not. But I think we also, don't we post on Go Mount Charleston and some of these other mountain sites, but just hitting those, at least you're hitting a good majority of people that do watch the news to see what's the weather going to be like up there when we get up there. And they see the mountains with the snow. They don't know that it's not down where we are. They just say, oh, there's snow up on the mountains. And so at least when you do that, I think it's really helped. I mean, we saw a difference.
Well, I think what it is it's preemptive. So everything else we have up here, like the highway signs and everything, they've already packed up. They've already got their sleds. They've got everything. They're like, we're committed. Mm-hmm. We're going. I don't care if it's a four-wheel drive and change or not.
Residents
kids are
only.
In. We're going. We're going. Residents only. We're going to go. And then they end up sitting in this line. So hitting it 2 or 3 days before has been the best way I can find to be effective. Is there anything else? I don't want to delay it. Okay. Hey, thanks again, everybody, for being patient with us. I know you know you're a resident. You come up in line and you have to wait in line. Everybody else. I wish there was a resident only lane HOV. There's not. But as you said, don't leave on weekends, right? Stay put or stay in town. You know. So okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay, next we will have a report from the Mount Charleston Fire District regarding calls for service during the past month and probably the last few months that we haven't met, and any other information he has.
Okay. George Gonzalez, Mount Charleston Fire Protection District. Everybody can hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, excellent. All right, for the reporting period, we have a call volume of 30 calls for this month. Medicals, vehicle accidents, illegal campfires, and so on and so forth. Moving on, a couple of the events that we're actually going to hopefully host, promote, and push are going to be our Pine Needle pickup event, cleanup event. We are going to move in that direction. I'll be reaching out to some of our cooperators. It's going to be a little bit different event this year. We're going to promote the cleanup of the properties for fire prevention purposes. We're going to set up the dumpsters in some of the locations that we've done it in the past, and then promote the homeowners to clean up the property. We're not going to have an open house. We're not going to do a luncheon like we've done in the past, just because of the conditions right now. Okay. And we don't know how it's going to be in the summertime. But we are still going to push forward and host that event for the fire district and for the community. Okay. Moving on, just an update. We're still waiting for delivery of our new water tender. It's scheduled now, delivery time frame June. I told you beginning, sometime last year, it was May. It got pushed back 1 month. So now it's June, delivery time for that water tender. And that's a brand new piece of equipment for the fire district. We also have some good news here. We have funding. Approved funding for a new brush engine, a replacement engine. Our current engine that we have in service is 22 years old.
Oh my God.
It reaches a life expectancy. That's the unit that actually housed on station 856 Lee Canyon. So time frame delivery for that unit is gonna be 13 months. So in 13 months, we should have a new unit to replace that. That's good news for the fire district too, and for the community. A couple of other announcements. We did get a grant for $75,000.
Oh, wow.
For avalanche mitigation. In the past, as everybody knows, we had encountered some avalanche issues in Kyle Canyon and Lee Canyon for the community. So we submitted for a grant. We got the grant. I just got notified recently that we got the grant. This is going to be $75,000 to do the study, do the pre-planning and mitigation of avalanche for the community. Okay, so that's going to be hopefully in place by next winter time. All right. Another good piece of information, we did our insurance services office review that's done every 4 years, and this is how the insurance companies rate your property for the cost of coverage. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting the results, but we're hoping to improve. We're at a level five right now for fire protection district. We're hoping to improve that. As soon as I get that letter, I will pass it on to the community. Of course, that's a benefit for your insurance coverage. And lastly, a couple other items. We are working on a grant for fire prevention, defensible space, and private land with the state and the federal agencies. So we're submitting for a grant for $300,000 to do work in private property. As everybody knows, and the Forest Service is not here, the Forest Service is working on their side, the federal land, but we're going to submit one for private land. This means private property work, okay?
What would that include,
please? Defensible space, removal of dead vegetation, creating that defensible space around the private property, around the houses, eliminating the fuels, the hazards, eliminating dead trees and vegetation from the private land. So this grant will allow us to actually go either contract crews, bring private contractors to eliminate some of these fire hazards.
Oh, very good.
And that's the purpose about that grant. Lastly, I do want to thank the water district for their help cleaning up the hydrants through the last couple months. They helped us out with their crew. I appreciate your work, Derek, and you guys over there appreciate the work. Very much appreciate it. Also appreciate the homeowners that clean up the hydrants and the properties, and some of the volunteers that helped out clean up the hydrants. It helps us out a lot. Especially if you see that hydrant after a snowstorm, mm-hmm. If you have the time, equipment, or manpower to do it, please take the liberty of cleaning that hydrant. It'll be a benefit for yourself and the entire community. And then announcement, we do have a couple new volunteers in our system. Three total. They're coming on board, they're online, they're actually finishing up some of their training. And those are three new volunteers to our system. So if you see them around, they'll introduce themselves to you. They're brand new to the district. And we're expecting and hoping good things from them. Chief, you got anything? Okay. Any questions for me? Yes, sir.
Can I go first?
We have Ernie here.
Go ahead.
Are you guys going to go as far as avalanche control for the charges and stuff?
No, sir. There's no way we can do charges within the community. That would never happen. So the purpose of this grant will be to identify the hazard, map it, study it, and set some parameters. So by the way, this information is not just going to go for the fire department. I already spoken to Sergeant Marlowe and some of the other public agencies, county, and this is a benefit for the community, but we're going to share this information for all the agents up here to make, as in the past, got questions, an educated decision, informed decision of when do we need to do evacuations, put out warnings to the public and to the community. That was an issue that was addressed during the last events. We want to address those issues. We want to have the right information to pass it on to the community. Does that answer your question? Any other questions?
I was just going to ask the time frame. That $75,000 will be used this fiscal year, this coming year.
Correct. And we hope to have a product in front of us by the next fall.
Cool. Thank you.
Any other questions? Concerns? Thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
Thank you, George. We'll now receive a report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District regarding the status of our water system. Thank you.
Good evening, Jason Bailey with the Las Vegas Valley Water District with a report for the Kyle Canyon Water District. Can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As of the February 3rd data collection, the Rainbow Well and all three Echo Wells were in the concerned operating range. It's no surprise we've had a very dry year with little precipitation, low snowfall, which has led to a reduced rate of natural recharge into our groundwater system, reducing the aquifer water levels and thus reducing and impacting the well levels. As Ms. Haji Sheikh mentioned, the Cal Canyon Water District sent out a letter this past week, may have received it the prior week, just requesting that residents curtail all non-essential water use. We are in the concerned range currently, but we anticipate being in the critical range in the coming months. So this is not only for today, but as the weather warms up and the spring hits, something kind of more of an awareness for residents to monitor and perhaps change any water usage behavior. Total production for the year 2020 for the Cal Canyon Water District was 22.2 million gallons. That's a 14% increase from the previous year. And in fact, the Rainbow Well and the Rainbow Subdivision was even higher at about 23%. And so low precipitation, higher usage, and we're kind of in the situation we are. Currently, the precipitation gauge reported 2.67 inches of precipitation for the month of January 2021, which is only 44% of the 21-year average. With that, my colleague Derek is here as well, so if there are any questions from the board, I'd be happy to address them.
Do you have any idea why there was such an increase in usage? Is there more full-time residents, or can you tell that?
Right, as far as usage, I think we're trying to figure that out. We, you know, with COVID and the pandemic, we suspect more people were up here perhaps in their second homes, or just home more often, using more water. I don't know, Derek, if you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, and so Derek has a question about water, which I agree with. I also think that we saw an increase in landscape watering. The only available pattern is because more people were up here, so they have a desire to water around, and that's probably a big reason.
Thanks for coming up, guys. This is an overall general question long term, but I'd like to hear your response. Right now, we get concerned and critical with dull regularity, and we've only got maybe 100 full-time residents out of 400 plus lots up here. What's going to happen 5-10 years out when, say, we've got 200 homes full-time and the like? What's the long-range plan that you guys are going to do? What's about, you got a thought on that?
So, we have a water resources department, and I've asked them to do a study on the different types that we're talking about now. And I would assume that when they finish that up, they're going to look at prior history, prior trends, compared to what's going on now and what may happen in the future. They're going to come up with suggestions for more of a long term plan for us to keep this system sustainable here. So, just waiting for them to think about how it's going to take a little longer.
You got any idea, Derek, when that's going to, when
it's
going to
be the next month or two?
Oh, no way.
There's a lot of people working on that.
Thank you.
I hope this last
one
happens.
Especially for Cal Canyon, not all the lots have water on them. All the vacant lots have water on them. And someone was telling me, and I wanted to verify this so that I'm not giving out misinformation, that if someone were to purchase a lot that did not currently have water on it, they would not be able to put a water meter on it until the situation improves. Is that true?
I have not heard that. I didn't know there was an enforced thing during college campus.
Yeah, me neither.
We can check on that one and see. That comes from a different department. I don't know the water district chief, but yeah, there's a planning department that kind of looks into that. Basically, if anybody bought water and wanted to put water, they would communicate with the district and say, this is the size of the house I have. The district say you need this size for the meter, and then you give permission to not that for the house. I haven't heard about it anymore today. I'll get to it just, but we will need to check on that.
Well, the reason I bring that up is we do have a lot of vacant lots, in, at least in Echo, and some of them are already have already got water meters on them and some do not. And so what the reason this came up is someone was telling me that the sale of a certain property had fallen through because they couldn't get the meter put in due to the concerned level. And if we go down even further to critical, then that would, you know, keep it at that moratorium for longer. So I would appreciate you checking on that because I don't want to give out misinformation. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Question.
Oh, in the back.
And I know it's not in the park, but it's a traffic plan. I think it would be more of a limitation than the latter.
The what? Say that one more time.
The septic tank.
Oh, the septic tank?
Would be more of a requirement to limit new houses. And I know their idea. I just, you know, something to check on that.
Different department.
Yeah.
No, that's Clark County Health.
I did. I just have, you know, as part of the whole, this is totally different subject. As part of that whole PVC thing, and you know, when you turn the power off, weren't you guys supposed to have put in a generator at the wells? I'm just talking about the Echo well that I have in the house. The last power outage was the lights were off and everything else was off. So.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
We'll now receive a report from Metro Volunteer regarding member activities, and I don't see Donna.
Donna cannot be here. But she did give me a report.
Oh, okay, great.
185 hours in January, and they have two new recruits that are in the process right now.
And I think anyone I know driving into Echo probably noticed us a lot out there and at Rainbow and stuff, so we did our best, and we had some very cold days, so I will throw that in there too. Next, we'll have a report from Nevada Highway Patrol regarding their activity.
I'm Sergeant Brandon Crawford from Highway Patrol, and some of the good news is come March 8th, we will be full staff again, which is good news. So one of the guys that was in backgrounds will be coming back on our first bid, which will start on March 8th. And some of you know that been here a while, Trooper Davenport is back too. So he's been gone for the better part of 6 months. He is back now, so he's been back for about 3 weeks, so he's at it as well. Some of the numbers for us in January, they are down a little bit because of all the resources that we put towards the top of the mountain on 156. But traffic stops for the month, we had 413. Violations, we had 592, which is a lot.
A lot.
Especially on top of the traffic stops, that means we're writing a whole lot of double tickets, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, good for us to slow people down and whatnot. Crashes, we had 11, which is about on par with where we usually are, especially because of the big snowstorm that happened, and when it went all the way down to 95, we had a heck of a time trying to keep up with everything going on up here and down there, but we were able to somehow manage. Nine of those crashes were on the mountain, and like I said, a majority of them were because of the snowstorm. A lot of them were either slide-offs or small fender bender type things. Like, thank goodness nothing was serious as far as accidents are concerned. And you can do the math, two of those were in Indian Springs. And then the total contacts for us for the month We're at 617. And again, a lot of those are down too because we are dealing with the furloughs for the next 6 months, which we have to take a day off for the month, and then we got to play the schedule game for us. So with the furloughs and one guy having to take a day off each, 1 day each month, and then they're not allowed any overtime during that furlough week. So we're having to play with that with the schedule, which makes it a little more difficult for us because of the call outs and things like that up here. So.
Well, thank you. Does anyone have any questions, Ernie?
I want to apologize for thinking you were with Matt.
I try to.
A question.
Yes, sir.
Does your service area overlap Matt's? Because Matt does the mountain here, and he goes all the way to Indian Springs and the like. How far are you spread out?
So our area of jurisdiction is Cow Canyon Road, it begins. Everything north, so we're 160 or Blue Diamond, however you want to call it, comes in through Pahrump. We handle everything up to that.
Okay.
Now, we will get called north of that if we're up there because a lot of times we no longer have a Beatty substation like we used to. So a lot of the Pahrump guys are now responsible for that area up there, and you can imagine how far that is for them to get up there. So we used to take, and I don't quote me because I wasn't here yet, but we used to take almost 10 miles north of there. Where 160 came back in, I believe it was, and don't quote me because I wasn't here at that time. But there was some things that happened and whatever, but now we no longer have a Beatty substation, so we have to man that road in between Beatty with us and Pahrump.
So then, everything from Kyle Canyon going into town is not you guys?
No, town will handle that. If we are in the area, we will take those if we don't have anything pressing happening on the mountain, just because it's quicker, easier for... It alleviates town. Swing shift in town is extremely busy for us, as you can imagine, with all the crashes. So if it's within reason, and I'm talking usually north of Durango, if we're in the area, yes, we will come help. If we're in that area, it's quicker for us just to knock it out and keep going. If it's serious, town can handle it because it takes us away from our responsibilities here on the mountain. And then obviously we handle everything on the mountain. But yeah, I can't tell you how many times back and forth we've handled. They will come and do something for us, and it's really not their responsibility, or vice versa. We'll call each other and say, can you do this for me real quick? It's not. We overlap pretty well, I think. Obviously, I don't want to speak for Matt, but we do a pretty good job of overlapping.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sir.
Brandon, the furloughs that you just mentioned, is that are all state employees in that?
Yes.
Or is Highway Patrol being singled out?
I believe it's all, I can only speak for Highway Patrol. I don't keep up with a lot of the politics stuff outside of who has what and all that kind of stuff. But I believe it is all state employees that has to take them. And it's only effective until June 30th. That's the 6 month is what we have to take 48 hours and 48 hours and basically a 6 month period. And they say June 30th is over. That's what I've been told. That's kind of the word I've heard through the legislator right now, that they don't believe Sisolak is going to extend it beyond June 30th for us. So that's good news.
Sort of like you got money.
Well, we took them for, 5 years ago, I believe?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I was here for that. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that was right around 3 years that we had to take furloughs. And we lose a ton of people when furloughs happen, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the younger kids that have been here, they don't have any idea. They haven't been here that long, and they're like, I'm out of here. I'm goodbye. So.
Yeah.
Lots of agencies have had to take cuts. The county, all county employees are down to 38 hours.
Anything else?
Okay, thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Okay, next was supposed to be the Forest Service. Do we have anyone with Debbie?
She come up at the last minute.
Here. Okay. Okay, so we will move on to a report from NDOT regarding conditions, construction, updates, etc. New one, NDOT? Okay, moving right along. Report from Nevada Energy regarding PSOM updates, and you'll let us know what PSOM stands for those who aren't aware. We got Nevada Energy? No. Giving up on us. Receive a report from our Clark County Administrative Services. Megan? Who's that? We got, good, yay, we got somebody.
Okie dokie. I don't have a whole lot, you think I have a lot, but we skipped license plate grants last year due to obvious reasons. Part of it was because most of the programs that are proposed through license plate grants require in-person stuff, trail maintenance and classes and training. So we didn't do them last year. We are going to do them this year. We haven't announced it yet, but I'm announcing it now. We'll put it on the website. They'll be open through March 15th. Any of my agency partners, you guys know, if you guys can do the 15th, work with me. Let's get those submitted, and we will hopefully get them in time to be at your March meeting and try to keep us on schedule.
How much money?
We have 90,000 from last year. I did not get an updated number yet of what we have this year, so I will have that at the next meeting. Hopefully when we hear the items. Okay, and I don't really have anything else. Anybody has any questions?
So would we assume it's close to the 90,000 for this year, so it'd be 100. It's going to be a lot.
And that's kind of been the average the past few years.
Okay.
Unless there's been a drastic change of people getting rid of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'd be great. Anyone have questions for Megan?
That is not covered in the bylaws. That is not something that's in the bylaws. We are very flexible with our town board members and CAC members because they are volunteers. I am hopeful that our board this year will be in attendance. We have one person out there today that we'll follow up on. With all the frustrations that was experienced and expressed to me, I only had 5 applications for the town board.
Yeah, you told me that before.
So that's frustrating to me that people get so mad and direct some of it to me when there were only 5 applications. I had no options. So keep that in mind. Some complaints about time. Well, did you apply? So I didn't put it that way, but it honestly, that's part of the problem.
Megan, I know there has been requests, especially during this COVID time, about Zoom or an electronic kind of meeting. And I need to go through these more thoroughly to see if there's anything in here for or against. I do know there is NRS that states if it's not in the bylaws to prevent it, that they shall have a means for electronic meetings.
Right, and anybody can call in. If somebody were to tell me that they can't make it, they can call in. We've done this in other boards. They can absolutely call in.
And how? And what's that process? I mean, what are they?
I've never had to do it before, but if they called me, I'd figure it out. I mean, they I have it on speakerphone.
And you have it on speakerphone.
That's what I would do. If tonight that someone called and said I can't be there, or they were stuck in traffic or something, I would put them on speakerphone and set my phone up.
Okay, what if 10 people call? How do you do that?
That's for board members. What you're asking for is for board members. I would do that for board members.
Okay, I'm asking for...
For the audience.
Audience.
We have, and this question came up, the county has looked at just about probably every virtual meeting option there is. And none of them work right. Even the ones we use for the Board of County Commissioners, which is
the highest level of technology and everything. It has glitches all the time, and we get complaints every single meeting that people either can't hear or they can't get picked up on the phone and everything. Any kind of system would either require really reliable internet, which we know is not necessarily available. How do you get them the handouts that, like when Jason brought the handouts, how do you get them? There's a lot of things that we have not been able to, because of NRS and multiple things that we can't overcome. But if somebody wants to be here, and I put this on Facebook earlier, if Joe, if they wanted to call Joe and be on his speakerphone, I have no objection to that. And that's, they can absolutely do that. But as far as me being able to do a multimedia virtual thing, I can't do that.
Yeah, because the only problem with that is that we wouldn't be able to see them raise their hand if they had a question or something. And I know that's part of the NRS. But I'm in a group. There was 200 of us. And we were able to, obviously they would have to have their own computer and stuff, but I don't know what program they used, but there was a little thing that raised your hand and that you had a question, you could see it. Whoever the host was could see that on there. So.
Right, and there's meetings that do that, and I'm on those meetings all the time, but not everyone has that ability. Probably in the group you were in, that was a known thing that they had to have that ability to be on there. And just at a meeting last night, we had people that have no internet service at all where they live. So that is not an acceptable option because they cannot call an alley. We have tried, because there's we're a relatively small board, and I probably could rig up something. I could probably figure out, put a laptop up here and figure it out. There's been a lot of discussion because you are one of 19 town boards, and there has to be equity.
Right.
Okay. And if I was offering that, an enterprise that has 60 planning items a night couldn't do the same thing. People look at other people's agendas and know what's going on, and it creates problems in the county for equity. So, yeah, I could put, quite honestly, I could set my laptop up here and we could do a FaceTime or we could do something like that. But I am not, I don't stand alone. I work for the county. I have to be part of the team. So, but if somebody wants to have someone call in or do FaceTime with them, absolutely, we can do that.
Okay.
All right. I don't know, Brenda, but when I find that link for you, I just, Cable Cage is the one that runs that COVID thing, and they have a way for people to call in and ask questions from the public. I don't know how it works when I have tried it, but I mean, it's there. Equity, I can't address that, but it is, they roughly have those meetings every 2 to 3 weeks, so they're making them happen. The agenda comes out ahead of time on their website. So, I mean.
Well, I know the best we can do is put it on Facebook or something like that, or they can check the library for the agenda and of what items are going to be on and just make ourselves available with our phone numbers for texts or emails, where if anyone has any questions, they can write them down. I know I've done that in the past and put an envelope on my porch and said, you know, if you have a concern, write it out and put it in the envelope. I don't care if you sign it or not, but then I can bring that forward.
Well, and if you see on the agenda, we've added in three places, it's listed on three places here, that if somebody wants comments shared, they can email them to me and I will read them. It's been done three times. So, the other thing, Enterprise, which is our largest town board in Clark County, and they can get 50 to 75 people every single meeting.
Wow.
They have twice had their meetings in chambers where they can use that audiovisual thing, and they've had so many people crying out, but we need a virtual option. They've had two people use it, and one was the liaison. So I have to tell you, I know, and I hear that everybody says virtual, we need virtual. When it comes to into play, people don't use it. It's not well used. Maybe when you have a meeting and that's the only option, then people have to use it, but we've tried it and it has not been successful.
Okay, well, hopefully things will go down the road, our COVID situation will get better and we can get back to our normal little bit. All righty, let's see where we're at. We did you. We have nothing for planning and zoning. General business, we already elected the chair and vice chair. We need to approve the 2021 meeting schedule.
So I gave it out to you,
yeah.
And there was typos on it. When I do that schedule with all my different meetings, I get a little loopy sometimes. And not even just when I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. But so the meetings fall on the pretty much the last Thursday of the month. So it does get weird, like we have two in April, but none in March, just because of the 5 weeks in the month.
Okay.
So the errors are, it would be July 29th, September 2nd, September 30th, October 28th. So I had September was three times there.
Okay, so October.
I probably got interrupted and did it.
Yeah, October 28th needs to be added.
And yes, September 30th should be October.
And then we aren't having a meeting in November, or does that go to the
December
2nd? December
2nd would be
your, like, the November meeting. Okay.
Yeah, it gets confusing.
And then December 30th, we usually don't have that.
Right. So yeah, December 30th, it's up to you. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have good attendance. I would rather not meet during that week.
Yeah.
Don't even put it on the calendar.
Yeah, I think we can.
And keep in mind that just because we don't have a meeting, if there were something pressing that we had to meet about and talk about, we can always do a special
meeting.
Okay. So the opportunity, we're not losing the opportunity forever. We can always have a special talk. This is also the opportunity to change the time of the meeting if you wanted to do that. I'm fine with that, but if that was something the community wanted, we could change the time. This is the time to do it.
You're going to you're going to amend this, and then we'll vote on it next month.
If
or not.
No.
What are you doing?
Well, if you're okay, if you want to, I need a motion. If you're okay with not meeting December 30th, and if you're okay with leaving the time, then we'll go as is. I'll make the correction that I just read to you. My typos are really
how, just typos. With the board, how does everyone feel about the 7 o'clock?
Perfect.
Everybody good? How about those in the audience?
We're all four.
All of you guys that bring reports, is 7 better for you than 6:30? Or just throwing it out there. The ones we need to ask aren't here. So
Laughlin does 1:30 in the afternoon.
No,
I think that probably won't work. Yeah.
Everybody in Laughlin's 103.
So yeah, there's times all over. Oh God, I'm glad I'm not Sandy Valley at 7:30.
Oh.
All right. If we can have a motion then.
Okay.
How about you, Megan? Does 7 work for you?
Oh, sure, yeah. Okay. I'm there whenever you want me. If you want to do 1:30, you want to do it at 7.
Okay.
You want to do 7:30, I'm here. This is my job.
Okay. We'd entertain a motion to accept the calendar with striking December 30th and keeping the time at 7 o'clock. Do we have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. And
the next one is me also. It's to review and accept the bylaws. I have emailed them to you, and I believe they were in your packet as
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm.
They are the same boilerplate they have been before. As I've mentioned in years past, if you have strong objections to something or you want to see something change, we can discuss it with the DA, but they are consistent for all town boards and pretty standard.
Is there any reason, being a parliamentarian and writing several bylaws for lots of organizations, what's supposed to be in the bylaws is a method to amend them that isn't in these?
That's
and
the question for the DA.
And can you write that down and see if they can answer that, why that's not a possibility?
Right.
That's it. Does anyone else have any concern with the bylaws or anything?
No, this says review and accept, but it doesn't say review and approve, so I'm assuming these come back to us again?
No, the reason
personally change that to not to approve, because I wasn't comfortable making you approve something that you weren't able to, that you didn't have the ability to come
to not approve.
So that was a conscious decision on my part, because I felt that was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So could we approve them next time?
We can't. They're not up for approval.
Okay.
We just accept
them. And that was not my decision. I don't necessarily like it, but that is.
Well, I was just asking. I mean, we're accepting them. I don't have a problem with that. I just didn't know if we needed to approve them after we get information back or anything like that.
No, if they need to get changed, then I'll let you guys know.
It would be back on.
Okay.
This has been a contentious thing.
It's above
my pay grade.
Right.
It's all up in the DA.
So
they made that decision, so they can have it.
It's more or less they're giving them the us, and we're accepting them.
I'm telling you what they are, basically.
And okay. And we can keep them. But there hasn't been any changes from...
No.
Okay, thank you. All righty, and so we're through that. At this point in the meeting, we have public comment on anything that wasn't on the agenda. Any concern or issues you have, please state your name and subdivision.
You have to take your mask off, because I can't understand what you're saying.
It's hard.
Is there some way we can get the new commissioner to come up and visit us?
That's the plan.
The county.
Ross
Miller?
Ross Miller.
It's Ross Miller, and he is, as you can imagine, the first couple months of being commissioner, he states it as trying to drink from a fire hose. And the first couple months for every commissioner is intense. So when he is able to take a breath, he will be coming to all the town boards and meetings.
Have you had a time for that?
I don't. There's a lot to learn about being a commissioner, and he's working on it. Yeah.
And as I can imagine, everyone that's had a problem now that there's a new one is trying to contact
everyone
him and
wants
get on
him.
His.
And it's not just him. There's several new commissioners. It's the same thing. Everyone wants a bit of their time. And at first, he doesn't know who to give the time to. So it's a balancing act, and we're working on it. And it's a new team. I'm the only staff that was kept over from the last group.
Oh, well, good for us.
So, but that's also complicated things, because we're all figuring out our roles. And so he will absolutely be up here, but it might be a couple months.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. Mm-hmm.
Larry Brown continues, and as far as I know, continues to work for the Aviators. And he's very happy to retire.
Sure.
Any issues or concerns that anything that's not on the agenda that we need to look into for next week, Misty?
I would like a point of personal privilege, if I might. I just want to introduce myself. Some of you know me, some of you don't. And they sort of didn't go over that. So my name is Misty Hajishi. I live in Echo. I was county commissioner before I moved here. I love it here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm full time. And I even set up an email. It's MistyTAB21. It's at Gmail. It's real easy. So if anybody needs to contact me, MistyTAB21@gmail.com.
And what I would like from all the board is that if you're open to it, to let me have your emails, phone numbers that we can put out on the Facebook page for people to contact us with any issues they may have.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we need to take care of them, but issues that we can bring, or maybe if it needs to be on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So before we leave tonight, if I could have that would be great.
And can I ask, if you do get issues, that's something that I can research.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to me before the meeting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because then I might be able to come to meeting with answers rather
right.
than just getting the questions this night and
right.
not being here at all. So.
Interesting concept.
Yep. Yeah, no, that would work good.
I wish so my other board could understand that. I can't answer a question as I'm sitting here.
Okay, you did have a cutoff time of 5 o'clock tonight. You might want to up that a little bit, like noon
that's
or
just,
something.
That's just for public comment.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just for public comment. Any questions?
But particularly now with people not attending, and that might prevent the nothing gets done, or the complaints.
This is
going to
end. This is going to end.
Yeah, it will. Anyway, that would be helpful, I think. Any other business to come before the board? Any comments? Seeing none.
Does this space work well for everybody? So you're able to get back to the library?
Yeah.
It's, I think it's more temperature-climate controlled than the fire station.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Okay, so our next meeting is
April
Fool's Day, but it really is that day.
Yeah,
I'm not fooling.
Really good, sure.
At 7 p.m. And seeing no further business to come before the board, we're adjourned. Thank you, Vice Chair. Oh!